Well, I'd like to greet you this morning in the precious name of Christ. By the blood that he shed on the cross, we have this forgiveness of sin. By his resurrection from the dead, we have this blessed hope of life eternal. It would be my desire that you would find something in this message that would be just for you, that you could take and you could use to help in the days to come in the midst of life's challenges and life's difficulties. God's given us his word and his promises to sustain us. So the title of this message is Pick It Up, and the text, as I said last week, is coming out of Psalm 119, verse 130, and then we'll jump to Ephesians chapter 5, but again, Psalm chapter 119 is the longest chapter in the Bible, and it's centered almost exclusively around God's word, God's commands, his precepts, his statutes, in a way that invites us to uphold them and take them seriously. Now, I grew up in Pennsylvania for roughly the first 20 years of my life, and I attended Hinkletown Mennonite Church. That was the church my grandfather pastored. That was the church that I grew up in. And in my younger days, that place looked a lot different than it does now. They've since, you know, done some renovations, updates. They've built a bigger building. But when I was a kid, it seemed big when I was a kid. It was actually rather small. But when I was a child, in the old sanctuary, high up on the wall, again, it probably wasn't a big wall, but in my young eyes, it looked very, very big, very tall. High above the wall, above the pulpit, was a large depiction of an open book with the verse from Psalm 119, verse 130, inscribed upon the pages, which it's the King James, the entrance of thy words bringeth light. That was what was on the pages of that open book, high above the pulpit in that old church. And as with most people, memories of my childhood are rather fuzzy. I mean, you all remember certain things, and usually, especially young childhood memories, they seem to be, you remember certain parts of it, but when you go to tell about it, and somebody that was older at the time said, yeah, it's not quite exactly how it happened. So how your young mind remembers things is very interesting. So most of your childhood memories are fuzzy sort of recollections. And again, it's sometimes odd what you remember. But the one thing I do remember very clearly, very distinctly, very vividly was that, again, that open book with that scripture inscribed, the entrance of thy words bringeth light. It stuck with me. It made an impression on that little mind of mine. No matter where I was or what I did, there was this subconscious connection with God's word and the illumination into the vast mystery and meaning of life. So somewhere in my mind as a young child, that connection was made. Something about God's word and the meaning of life. There was a connection. If you opened the one, you would find the other. If you rejected the one, you would lose the other. God's word and the meaning of life seemed to stand or fall together. So I'll just read, again, I'll just restate that verse. Psalm 119, verse 130, in the King James Version, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. And of course, the light that God's word brings is the light of Jesus Christ, who describes himself as the light of the world and the light of life. Paul expands on this idea of light in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 6 to 14, and I'll read that, and then I'll sort of jump into the body of this message. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 6 to 14 says, let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But in everything, exposed by the light becomes visible. For it is the light that makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Wake up, O sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." One Columbus Day weekend, many, many, many years ago, I was taking a road trip with one of my cousins. I could drive, so you do the math. Now, I won't call them my favorite cousins because I have many, many cousins, all of who I have good relationships with. So I'll just say it was one of my favorite cousins. We did a lot together back in the good old days. But this cousin and I were heading to the Shenandoah Valley. Again, we were in Pennsylvania, so we were heading south on 81, the Shenandoah Valley. For the weekend, we were there to camp and to visit some Civil War battlefields, maybe go to some caverns, just have a good old-fashioned road trip. We had the beautiful fall weather. Again, Columbus Day, I think, is somewhere around the first week or two of October. So the leaves were turning. It was just perfect. And we toured the New Market battlefield. Some of you are familiar with that area, New Market. New Market Civil War battlefield. We walked the fields and the forests, and we just genuinely enjoyed ourselves. And we worked our way through this extensive Civil War museum on the battlefield. They had a big museum with all sorts of artifacts and maps, and just, you know, if you like history, you love these kinds of places. Well, we really enjoyed ourselves. But the museum also had a bookstore, and my cousin, who was an elementary school teacher, and it was his maybe second year of teaching. So he still had that, you know, that passion for these new ideas, and he still does, I think, but he was just really energetic about his teaching job. So we went into this bookstore at this museum, and again, he was an elementary school teacher, and he had a passion for history and historical figures. But he purchased a very large and very impressive looking book on a particular Civil War general. I mean, it was one of them thick biographies. It was a big book, and it was very expensive. He shelled out a lot of money for that thing. Nothing comes cheap in those museums. If you've been in them, it's a place you do a lot of looking and really not a lot of buying because you go broke. But we left the New Market battlefield with a new appreciation of that part of history, and my cousin left there also with a nice, new, expensive book. Well, the day's activities tired out my cousin. We did a lot of walking and, you know, sightseeing, and so we were both pretty tired, but I was the one driving, so I could not sleep. But he could because he was in the passenger side, so he quickly fell asleep when we got in my old Jeep Cherokee, rest its soul. But it was, we went a lot of places in that vehicle, but he fell asleep in the passenger side, and a few things happened in quick succession. First, which is not too surprising if you know me, for I have a history of sort of misdirectional adventures. I tend to get lost if I don't know the area. Even if I do know the area, I tend to get lost. But I got lost somewhere in New Market, and New Market's not a big place, so I just didn't know which direction to turn to get back to our campsite. And you know, at the stop sign, you've probably been there, and you have to make a decision quick, and you don't want to make the wrong one. This was before GPS. You could say my cousin was, I guess, the human GPS, and he was sleeping, so I was in a bind. I was in a bind there. So that was the first thing. The second thing, as I mentioned, my cousin, as the human GPS, was fast asleep in the passenger seat with the window down, and retrograding aspects of that car. It had no AC, so we always had the windows down if there was any kind of, you know, warmth outside. And as I recall, it was a warm fall day, so the window was down, and he was sleeping, and I was getting a little concerned because I didn't know where I was going. So I was at a crisis moment trying to figure out which direction to turn, and I excitedly yelled to my sleeping cousin. He was sleeping so peacefully. I said, Ash, his name was Ash, I said, which way do I go? And I said it a lot louder and a lot more, with a lot more expression. Now, Ash is a pretty good sleeper by all accounts. As far as I remember, he could sleep with the best of them. He's a man that can sleep. Or at least he could back then, but in my excitement, I roused the man in one sudden jolting moment. His eyes opened wide in surprise, in a sort of a bewildered introduction, reintroduction to reality. Again, he was sleeping very well. And in one quick reactionary reflex, he threw that expensive Civil War book right out the open window onto Main Street. Just as perfect as you can imagine. Just like that. It happened so quickly. He fell asleep. He was out. I woke him up suddenly, and he subconsciously threw that book right out the door. I've never seen anything like it. He looked at me very, blankly. He was trying to, regain his composure, figure out what was going on, where he was. He blinked a few times, and he finally woke up and realized what he had done. He just started looking at us like, what have I done? At this point, I was driving again, and we both agreed that even though we may still be sort of lost at the moment, that book that he had just threw out the window, it was something that was worth going back to find. We would do whatever it would take to get that book back. It was very valuable. It had a lot of meaning. Well, we did find the book right in the middle of Main Street down there in New Market, so it was a little scuffed up, but still in good shape, considering moments before it was tossed out a moving vehicle. And that's a funny story. I mean, when we get together and we talk about stuff, that story usually comes up, and we laugh a lot because it is funny. Things are funny. Yet this humorous story illustrates a reality that occurs in the spiritual lives of many people today. There are many, many people today, young and old, it makes no difference your age, who are in this journey of life, and at some point they fall asleep, spiritually speaking. They fall asleep spiritually speaking. It happens in a variety of ways, but it matters little what exactly has lulled you into this spiritual sleep, this soul slumber or Christian hibernation. The point is that you have fallen asleep. You've checked out. You've let your guard down and you've given in. And at some point you're going to wake up. And what happens when you wake up is one of the most important steps in the whole process of life. Now, upon the sudden wake up, my cousin threw his prized book out the window. It was safely on his lap, but in the confused reflex of a moment, he gave it a varsity toss right out the door. He was a quarterback in high school, so he could throw a, it didn't matter if it was a ball or a book, it went out the window, sailing down the road. Now, I am suggesting that countless souls do the same thing spiritually. They allow themselves to fall spiritually asleep, and when they wake up in a moment of crisis or a crossroads in life, they throw the scripture, they throw God's word, right out the window. You see it, I think, all the time. You hear stories. If you've not experienced in your own life, you hear others tell. A child reared in church goes off to college and comes back seemingly angry, maybe at everything. Many despise the church, despise Christianity. What happened? Many parents have tearfully asked, what happened to my child? Well, they fell asleep, and upon waking up in an academic space that mocks Bible-believing Christians, they threw out God's word out the door. They lost the light. Or maybe a grown adult who should know better, yet gives in to the foolishness of sin. Their eyes grew heavy, and upon waking up in a tempting decision, a tempting crossroads, they throw out God's word, which calls their behavior sinful. They lost the light. Someone who chases after the infatuation of money or power, they clocked out and took a spiritual snooze. And the deceitfulness of wealth was more appealing than the sanctity of Scripture. So they threw out the eternal to spend the temporal. They lost the light. Or common today, I think we've seen it probably in the last 4 or 5 years, in some extreme measures, people swept up by forceful political activism, very impassioned. They fall asleep and wake up to the angry shouts of hate, and they throw their Bibles out the door and join the ranks of those who hate the exclusive gospel of Jesus Christ. They lost the light. So what happens when the lights go out? You go to sleep. And when you suddenly wake up in the dark, you are lost. Again, this is all drawing on that verse from Psalm 119, "The entrance of thy word bringeth light." There is a world out there that has perfected the art of lulling you to sleep with all the deceptive promises of this short life. We don't live very long. 70, 80, 90. You hit 100, you're one of the few. Life is short. But we live in a world that has perfected the art of lulling you to spiritual sleep. You may find yourself in one of these scenarios that I mentioned. The scripture says, "Let no one deceive you with empty arguments." That means no matter how big of words they use, how impressive they sound, how many letters they got behind their name or beside their name. Do not be fooled by popular opinion. 51% of wrong is still wrong. If people, 51% of the people do what is wrong, it doesn't make it right. Do not be carried away by nice-sounding names or temporary pleasures. They're going to be coming at you. You have to resist. Live as children of light and find out what pleases the Lord, Paul tells us. Question, how do we find out what pleases the Lord? Again, the answer, the entrance of thy word bringeth light. It gives understanding to the simple. Again, you have people telling you all sorts of things, giving you all sorts of solutions to all your problems. But if you forsake the word of God, nothing they tell you is going to work. Now, I think we've all been lulled to sleep one way or the other at one point in our lives. We all have thrown out God's word. We've thrown it out the door at some point in our life. Sin had hushed our souls to sleep, maybe to pursue our own sinful desires. I'll admit it for you. I mean, if you don't admit it, I will for you. You've done it. You've fallen spiritually asleep. You've thrown out God's word to pursue your own agenda. You are not as squeaky clean as you like to portray. Nobody is. So as I mentioned, that book that my cousin threw out the window was very valuable and very treasured. He paid a lot of money for that thing. Even though he threw it out, he did so while he was dazed and confused. He had just woken up. Upon the realization of his error, again, we immediately turned around and we searched Main Street, New Market until we found it. And find it we did. So if you've fallen spiritually asleep, or if you know somebody that's fallen spiritually asleep, I can guarantee you something is going to wake you up. Something is going to come along and wake you up. There's going to be a tragedy around the corner, a crisis, a turning point, a crossroads, perhaps social unrest, political movements, whatever the case may be. Something is going to wake you up. You will wake up from your spiritual napping, and in your confused state, you are vulnerable to discard the most precious word of God and throw it out in a quick reaction. You say it cannot happen, but I'm telling you it can and it will if you let yourself fall into this spiritual sleep. And I say what happens next will determine the course of your life. If you choose to reject God's word and continue living to follow the deception of human philosophy or knowledge and human thought, you will be carried away by a lie. It might sound good. It might sound impressive. It might sound academic. But if you forsake God's word, you will be carried away by a lie. It may sound convincing. It may get you into certain social groups, but in the end, it is empty. It promises fulfillment, but it leaves you dying with no cure. You travel further and further into the darkness until you don't even know where you're going or what you are doing. Now, if you choose to turn around and retrieve that precious word, the precious commands of Scripture, which was thrown out in a hasty moment of delusion, you will find the truth that your soul needs. Scripture says, "Wake up, O sleeper, and let the light of Christ shine on you." The entrance of God's word brings light. It gives understanding to the simple. And yes, we are all simple people. When it comes to what we all need, what we're all capable of doing, we're all very simple. Because God is the only one that has the answers we seek. The power and mercy of Jesus Christ transform you from a snoring sleeper to an energetic mover of mountains. When the power of God enters your life, the whole trajectory of your existence takes a drastic turn for the glory of God. So this is my perspective. There's no way around it. Those who reject God's word will always become hardened to sin's deceitfulness, and they will follow the lie. They might, gain notoriety. They might become very popular. They might do a lot of things in this world. But their end is destruction if they forsake the word of God. Those who turn around and realize the value and importance of God's word will find themselves growing ever closer to the God who inspired and dictated it. There is one way to salvation. There is one way to forgiveness, reconciliation. It's through Jesus Christ, the light of the world, who the Scriptures speak of. So I guess the big question is, what is lulling you to sleep? Or what has lulled you to sleep? It might be this sermon. You might have found yourself sleeping physically. It happens. But more importantly, spiritually, what is lulling you to sleep? Where are you getting your answers to life's greatest questions? Do you look to the philosopher, the professor, the scientist, the politician? Where do you go for the deepest answers of life? Where have you left the most important book in the world? If you have thrown out the word of God, I implore you, go back and pick it up. If you have fallen spiritually asleep and in a reflex of the moment, you threw it out, go back and pick it up. The entrance of God's word brings light. I am convinced that even today we can be sitting in church pews across the world with a Bible on our laps, all the while we have thrown out its truth and value in our minds. So many people today view themselves as intellectually superior to such an old, antiquated account as the Scriptures. We wake up from our sleep, we throw the Scripture right out the window. We have a strange habit of reconstructing a new Jesus, a false God, by our willful rejection of God's word. We throw out the Scriptures we do not like. We throw out the Scriptures we don't like, things that might offend us. And we do what mankind has been doing for millennia. We make God into our own image. We reconstruct what we want God to be, and we say, "This is who you are." Instead of letting God tell us who he is, we said, "No, this is who we want you to be." We turn God into who we would like him to be instead of the Holy One that he says he is. Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even the dividing soul and spirit, joint and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all of creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the one of whom we must give an account." That's sobering words. Again, I think, this is just my thought, especially in this age of technology and affluence, we have become so accustomed to having things our way and doing whatever we want that we think that somehow that's just going to transfer over when we die. That we're going to be able to make decisions and change plans. God's given us the opportunity here and now to make a decision for Him. And He gives us His Word as a blueprint for our lives. So again, I implore you, if you've thrown it out, go back and find it. It's time to go back and pick it up. It's worth turning around and finding, because the entrance of God's Word brings light. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your Word, for Your commands. We thank You that we can turn to You. We can submit ourselves, repent of our evil, and embrace Your forgiveness. Lord, we know each one of us has at times forsaken Your Word, went against Your commands, thought we were bigger, better, stronger, smarter. Lord, I pray each one here would seriously consider the impact of Your Word on their life, the importance of it, how it brings life, it uncovers the darkness, gives us direction, gives us purpose, gives us knowledge of the holy. So, Lord, we give You all the praise, thanking You for Your sacrifice on the cross, Your forgiveness of sin, and our expectation and hope of eternity with You. Be with each one here, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.